Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to The Evil Never Dies. This is the midweek episode, and I'm your host, Carl Todd. In this episode, we are going to discuss a band called Lizzie Borden, who's also the name of the singer of the band, but is not the axe murderer. Sorry. Lizzie Borden was discussed on our Facebook message group, The Evil Never Dies, The Evil Ones. Sometimes we get some good discussions on that group. If you haven't signed up for it, I suggest you do. So we were talking about Lizzie Borden on there, and I said, you know, I'll just do a Lizzie Borden album. We'll get a little bit of background about the band. I don't think they're as known as I feel they are. I mean, I got my shirt on and everything. That's the American metal shirt right there. But I think Lizzie Borden has sort of disappeared from history. They are still an active band, which I really like the push bands that are still active. So Lizzie Borden actually formed in 1983 in Los Angeles. They were named after the singer Lizzie Borden, and that's not his real name, and I'm actually not going to give his real name. I actually know it, but we're going to keep it a mystery. Once I told somebody his name was Lizzie Michael Borden, and they believed me, so we're going to stick with that, everybody. So, yep, formed in 83. They were sort of a glam rock band. As far as their appearance and dress, Dee Snider once said that he didn't consider Twisted Sister glam rock because they were all hideous looking. So he more or less considered Twisted Sister hid rock, not kid rock, hideous rock. And I sort of put Lizzie Borden in that same category along with Wasp and Blackie Lawless. So musically, they didn't sound very glammy, but they were, I always felt they were more of an Alice Cooper type band, as far as singer's Alice Cooper, the band is Alice Cooper. Lizzie would actually perform, he would change his costumes, you know, through the concerts. I've seen Lizzie Borden numerous times over the years, always a great show. So, they were formed actually by Lizzie Borden and his brother, Joey Scott, who was the drummer. I'm giving that secret out. The drummer and Lizzie Borden are brothers, and that's why they've always been in the band together. So they were signed to Metal Blade Records in 84 and released an EP called Give 'Em the Axe, which is a perfect name for a band called Lizzie Borden, I guess. And so they went through different guitar players. They really didn't have a complete set lineup. At one point, a man named Joe Holmes became their guitar player. Joe Holmes would later join Ozzy Osbourne in the 90s, replacing Zakk Wylde, who had left to go do his own thing. So that was sort of Joe Holmes's credit. I mean, he was in Lizzie Borden and actually played with Ozzy. So that's kind of cool. Tonight, we're going to concentrate on Lizzie Borden's fourth album, which was called Master of Disguise. That's what we're going to focus on because that's my favorite album of these guys. It was a different sort of album for the band. It didn't sound like their previous releases. Their biggest hit was Me Against the World. That was played a lot on MTV. They actually appeared in the movie Decline of the Western Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years. So around this time, Lizzie Borden was a pretty known act in the metal world. So they decided they were going to change things up and change their entire style. This was actually considered a solo album by Lizzie Borden himself. So technically, I guess this is the Lizzie Borden solo album. I think a lot of that came because one of their guitar players named Gene Allen, who was one of the prime songwriters, had quit the band, which left only Joey Scott, the drummer, and Lizzie So they decided after some commercial success, they were going in this different direction and they wrote a concept album. This is definitely not any kind of glam rock whatsoever. I would call it almost progressive metal, with some power metal and opera metal, which didn't even exist at this point. I think this album influenced a lot of people down the road, even though it doesn't seem to get a lot of credit for it, but it did. So on the charts, Master of Disguise would actually be the band's biggest album ever. It spent 10 weeks in the Billboard 200 charts. A lot of the songs from the album become staples to the set list to this day. They play a lot of the stuff from Master of Disguise. Production, again, after Gene Allen left, they were still with Metal Blade Records. And I guess they were, Lizzie had talked about his vocals, and for the first time, they actually layered harmonies with his voice. So in the studio, you would hear different harmonies of, Lizzie Borden's an excellent singer, by the way. He's very opera-like and has actually done some Broadway plays. So pretty impressive resume. So they sort of flushed that out and focused on vocals. This is more of a vocal record than anything. The production was definitely focused on more of a stadium sound and actually a full orchestra, which I don't think they ever got that playing orchestra with them. So I sort of compare this to Alice Cooper's transition from being the Alice Cooper band to a solo act. Because Alice's first solo album was Welcome to My Nightmare, which also was a big style change. And I'm pretty sure Lizzie Borden was very influenced by Alice. It's obvious from his attire and even the music. So let's go over the track listing on this album, and I'll talk about a few of the songs, because this was one of my favorite albums when it came out. I still listen to it to this day. Didn't listen to it before I did the show, but I'm pretty versed in this album. Track one was called Master of Disguise. Very orchestra, or orchestratic, I guess is the word we will use. A lot of violins and a lot of metal going on. Master of Disguise is a sort of a weird song because it doesn't really, the rest of the album doesn't really go along with it. It's sort of unique. Good introduction to the album and definitely a cool song. Track two was called One False Move, and this one slows everything down. It actually has some piano and weird drums, and it's sort of a slower song. One False Move and You're Blown Away. It's a short song. It was only 2 minutes long. Track three was Love is a Crime. This one actually has some horns on it. So again, every song is sort of different. Master of Disguise, the song again, is more metally with orchestra, but the rest of them, this Love is a Crime is almost a jazzy sounding metal song. Very unique. Song four is called Sins of the Flesh, and this is more of a full on rock song. It's more in the style of the old Lizzie Borden, heavier. Song five is called Phantoms, and this one is all the way orchestra. It actually starts out, it's just very orchestra rock. Best way to describe it. Very cool song. This whole album is good. Maybe Phantoms is a little forgettable compared to the others, but not a bad song. Song six was called Never Too Young to Die. And it's shit. It almost sounds sort of like a Paul McCartney song. It starts out with a piano riff, and actually, I'm surprised that this song was not a huge hit on the charts as a single. Definitely not what you would expect from Lizzie Borden. It's not really a ballad, but a slower song. Very, very interesting stuff on this album. Track 7 is my favorite song, one of my favorite songs ever. It's called Be One of Us. It starts out with an organ, and it's very vampire sounding. And that's what this song is about, is vampires. They're basically wanting to change you into a vampire. And I've actually played this song in some of my haunted houses. Very dark, very drooling kind of Phantom of the Opera-esque song. Love it. Great song. Track 8 is Psychodrama, which was actually written by Lizzie Borden and drummer Joey Scott. Psychodrama is sort of forgettable. It's another one that sort of follows the rest of the album a little more. Track 9 was Waiting in the Wings, which was written with Lizzie Borden, Mike Davis, and a man named Scott Hagens. Waiting in the Wings is, again, sort of follows the same pattern of the album. There's some pianos, there's some orchestra, good vocals. We'll go to track 10, Roll Over and Play Dead. Again, this is more traditional Lizzie Borden. It's a heavier song. Lizzie does more of the scream style singing in this than his opera voice he used for most of the album. So sort of a flashback to the old days. Track 11 was called Under the Rose. This is a ballad. It's a very weird ballad. It's more piano than anything. Fits the album well, though. Good song. And the last track was track 12. I can't talk. I haven't even been drinking and I can't say 12. It's called We Got the Power. And it's very jazzy, too. A lot of horns in it. Just cool stuff, man. This is a great album. The whole album is about an hour long. It tracks in about 60 minutes. Now, in 2007, they actually remastered the album, and it needed a good remaster because the original album was sort of a little on the weaker mix. They added two new songs. One of them was just an orchestra piece called The Orchestra, and they added a song called Vampire's Kiss, which is just what it sounds like. It's a vampire song. So the personnel for this album, Lizzie, Michael Borden on vocals, Joey Scott on drums. There were additional, I guess you'd call them studio guitarists and bass players and keyboardists and orchestra people. We'll go over a couple of those. I don't really know who these people are. Ronnie Jude played guitars. David Michael Phillips, that name sounds familiar, played acoustic guitar and some electric guitar. Bass was done by Joey Vera from Armored Saint. I know him. Brian Perry and Mike Davis played some bass. Keyboards and the horn arrangements, and actually the producer of the album was Elliot Solomon. Very good orchestra arrangements and also good horns on this thing. So, yeah, good job. William Kidd, additional keyboards and orchestra arrangements, and he was actually the conductor. So, yeah, this is a full-blown rock opera here, folks. There are a lot of background vocals. We won't mention them. Horns on Love is a Crime and We Got the Power were Brian Cole, Jeremy Moore, JT Santos, and Tim Taylor. Whoever you guys are, you did a great job. The actual producer of the album, I think I said it was Elliot Solomon, but I think he just produced the horns. Alex Waltman was the producer. Assistant engineers was Craig Knepp and Michael Duggan. It was mixed by Tim Brown. And Brian Segel was the executive producer, who was the head of Metal Blade Records and probably still is to this day, to my knowledge. It was recorded at the Dodge City Sounds in Los Angeles, California, January through May of 1989. And this album was released to the world on July 15th, 1989. I don't have the CD with me because it's on the other end over there. And, the cover is basically sort of a, Phantom of the Opera mask with the Lizzie Borden logo, which is not this logo. They actually changed the logo. It's kind of a blue kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It looks spooky and, the fonts are definitely different. There's a, spotlight focused on the mask. And I do believe during the show, during the concerts, Lizzie actually wore that mask several times. So this was Lizzie Borden's highest charting album. I really thought it was going to lead to them becoming a huge band. It really did not. They actually went on a hiatus after this and disappeared for many years. Didn't put out an album until 2000. So they were gone for 10 years. There was rumors of Lizzie Borden joining Broadway plays, which some may or may not have been true. They just disappeared. Now, later years, I found out that Joey Scott and Lizzie Borden were playing in L.A. in some local bands. So they'd sort of just moved on from Lizzie Borden. I think it was called, let me see what this, I'm trying to remember what the one band was called. I can't find on my notes. It's like Starbreaker or something to that effect. Sorry, I can't find that. Pretty cool little solo project they did. But yeah, they sort of just disappeared until the 2000s, and then they put out Deal with the Devil, which was a full-on, almost thrash metal album. And they've released several other albums since then, and they still tour. They're still active. Starwood, that was the name of the band I was trying to remember. They were an L.A. band, local L.A. band, that actually recorded an album. Sounds nothing like Lizzie Borden. It's more traditional glam rock. Something cool to check out. If you are a fan of Lizzie Borden already, you might not have ever heard of Starwood. I obviously couldn't even remember the name of it. So there you go. So Lizzie Borden, like I said, they put good shows on. They're very theatrical and great band. Their current lineup is actually got Ira Black playing guitar, and he's played in several bands, including Metal Church and Vicious Rumors. So they're still around. If they come to town, go see them. You will enjoy it. And we may do some more Lizzie Borden album reviews in the upcoming months, depending on what Brett thinks. Apparently, he's also a fan of Lizzie Borden. I did not know that. But that's what we got for this week. Lizzie Borden, Master of Disguise. I'm going to give this album 4.5 stars. Some of the songs do sound very similar, but most of the album is totally different from start to finish. Best album they ever did. One of the best concept albums of that era. I love the orchestra and the jazz and the piano. Very Sabotage-like in a way. Similar artist. They were definitely ahead of their time. I wish they would have gotten bigger than they did. But in my world, Lizzie Borden will always live in a strong place. So check us out on the social medias. We're on Facebook, the Evil Never Dies group, the Evil Ones. You can join and just get in on our discussions about bands and music. Our YouTube page, the Evil Never Dies podcast. Search in YouTube and you'll find it. If you're not a YouTube watcher, give us a watch. And it's getting to be Halloween season, everybody. So if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or anywhere nearby, you can come check out Count Karabi's Haunted Museum. We will be open the weekend before Halloween. You can go to my webpage, www.carltodd.com, and that will give you links to everything. Podcast, Haunted House, my personal Facebook. Feel free to friend me and be cool. And have a good evening, morning, afternoon, or night, whatever time you're watching or listening to this. I am Carl Todd. And stay evil, everybody. We will be back on Sunday with a full episode.